I'm going to call us into to order, and we do have a public comment before we go into closed session. So let's get started.
Thank you all. My public comment is regarding the agreement for temporary employment between the governing board and Mr. Larry Perani.
Perani.
Say that again.
Perani.
Perani, excuse me.
Perani.
Mr. Perani. So under one term, if you go to one term, I'd like to alert you to the second paragraph, first sentence. During his temporary employment, the interim superintendent agrees to satisfactorily perform the duties of the superintendent. And I'd like to, First, I'd like to know, what does satisfactory mean? And two is, what is the matrix the district uses to measure satisfactory performance? And three is, why is an employee making $1,100 a day, which is essentially 200, if you annualize his salary, $286,000 per year, expected to do an average job? So those are my three questions. And it seems like there, I don't know, this is not defined. The word satisfactorily is not defined anywhere in this contract. And typically when you have an employment contract, you define the terms of what the what that expectation is. My expectation is the guy should do an amazing job versus an average job. That's just, you know, my expectation. So maybe we can, you guys will discuss that.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. And we can go ahead and move on over to the small boardrooms. Good evening. Going to welcome you to this evening's meeting of the San Dieguito Union High School District Board of Trustees, and ask Ms. Schultz if she'll read our protocol, please.
Welcome to the meeting of the San Dieguito Union High School District Board of Trustees. If you wish to speak to an item on the agenda, please complete a speaker slip located at the sign-in desk and present it to the secretary to the board prior to the start of the meeting. When the board president invites you to the podium, please state your name before making your presentation. Persons wishing to address the board on any school-related issue not elsewhere on the agenda are invited to do so under the public comments item. If you wish to speak under public comments, please follow the same directions for speaking to agenda items. In the interest of time and order, presentations from the public are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. The total time for agenda and non-agenda items shall not exceed 20 minutes, and individual speakers' allotted time may not be increased by a donation of time from others in attendance. In accordance with the Brown Act, unless placed on the published agenda, no discussion or action shall be taken by the board on non-agenda items. However, the board may, 1, acknowledge receipt of the information, 2, refer the matter to staff for further study, or 3, refer the matter to a future agenda. In compliance with Government Code Section 54957.5, agenda-related documents that have been distributed to the board less than 72 hours prior to the board meeting have been available for review on the district website or at the district office. All matters listed under consent are those in which the board has previously deliberated or which can be classified as routine items of business. An administrative recommendation on each item is contained in the agenda supplements. There will be no separate discussion of these items prior to the time the Board of Trustees votes on the motion unless members of the board, staff, or public request specific items to be discussed or pulled from the consent items. To address an item on the consent calendar, please follow the procedure described under comments on agenda items. As a courtesy to all meeting attendees, please set cell phones and electronic devices to silent mode and engage in conversations outside the meeting room. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask us to stand, and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The folks are coming in. I will just mention that we have already met in closed session, but we have nothing to report out, so we will be moving directly into our regular meeting. And first of all, we need to approve our agenda, and I am aware of, 15A3 and 15F having needing to be pulled from our consent agenda. Is there any other items or changes to the agenda?
Was there, what was 12?
15A3 and 15, was it F? Was
yes.
there a number or anything else?
Just 15.
Just 15. Okay. Okay. If there's nothing else, can I have a motion to approve the agenda with the exception of those two items being correct for separate discussion?
Move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That carries. Next is our approval of our minutes from our June 7th regular and special meetings. And I have a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That carries. And brings us to our non-action items. We have no students with us for the summer break. They're all on break, and we'll have new students to bring in and swear in when fall comes. But that brings us then to our Board of Trustees reports. So if we have anything, Mrs. Menard?
Lots, let's see here. Like I say, I've always been a steadfast proponent of academics. This year I was at the NCS District-wide Math 24 competition. I don't know if you've been involved with that for 10 years. My son Scotland volunteered again this year, and I've always believed in fostering math academics. It creates a strong skills in math here and in high school and middle school, if you're at the elementary district. I want to say the three proctors that graduated this year got into Stanford, USC, and UCLA. We're pretty proud of that. Also, congratulations. I was at Michigan Nancy today. Amazing graduation. Graduating sixth graders will be at Tania next year. I was also at Tania and with Mike, which was good. And I was also at Cross Canyon with Mark Miller. That was amazing, too. I was able to talk to Brian Marcus ahead of time and gave my son's best friend his diploma. It was an amazing day, seeing all the kids that I know graduating, going out of college. Also, did the ACP graduation. One of the students who had worked so hard for his high school diploma was so overwhelmed with emotion. It actually almost brought him to his knees, and that was an amazing moment to see one of our kids so awestruck by getting his diploma, and I'm so glad he's going out of MiraCosta. I also attended the meeting with the select search firms. We're looking for the new superintendent. We also, as you saw tonight, are hiring our new interim superintendent. One of my criteria for the new superintendent interim, and our new superintendent's quality is he really loves children and always puts children first. My son Scott and the LCC golf team was honored Monday night at the Padres game. I don't know if you saw him on the Jumbotron. They are the CIF champs. I'm totally proud to see them out of the field with all the families. I'd like to say what I'm most proud of is I was able to get two kids internships today. Worked really hard yesterday and today. And they'll get them jobs after college. And that's a big success. I also met with Assistant Superintendent Gina Douglas. I've been very concerned about the safety for the district. I did not vote for the safety resolution because it is not immediate in all schools. And it's not in our general fund. We have had so many instances that it could have turned out unpleasant for our students. This district has been lucky. I want to replace our children's safety on luck. Children can only learn in a safe environment. All safety must move forward on all campuses. What's the holdup? It's been months since the resolution was passed. Thank you.
Mrs. Herman.
Sure. Let's see. I attended the San Diego Alliance for Drug-Free Youth community meeting. I know Mrs. Herman was there as well as Mrs. D'Alessandro. Again, these meetings are always informative and give us an idea of not only what's happening throughout the community as far as drug use, but also the support systems that are in place. And it is a really impressive group of community members working together. So always enjoy going to that. went to the ATP exit ceremony and graduation. We did have a graduate this year, which was very exciting. And it was held at the Encinitas Community Center for the first time because there were so many students we were recognizing. So that was really a nice event. They showed slideshows.
Two kids.
Oh, that's right. One was not there, but we did have two graduates. Dan attended the special board meeting, and we did interview and decide on a search firm for our superintendent search. We chose Hazard, Young, and is it Atea?
Atea.
We'll be meeting with them tomorrow to go over the process and tentative timeline. I attended Earl Warren Middle School promotion and Canyon Crest Academy graduation. Always amazing to see all the students and their families celebrating there. And lastly, I went to the district office potluck yesterday that was held here, and always nice to celebrate with the employees at the completion of the school year, although we know the work continues in the summer. But it gave everybody a chance to say goodbye to Superintendent Dill. And I wanted to take this opportunity to also thank Eric in public for his leadership for the past 2 years specifically, but 17 years. So it's been a challenging few years, and we, again, as he's always doing his work.
Sorry.
Work is never done.
Sorry, were you talking about me?
Come on. I was just going to say I was going to miss your sense of humor, but your integrity in our very long phone conversations. So best of luck.
Thank you.
Great. Yes. Ditto. Okay, on June 8th, I participated in Ryan Cardenas AP Physics Portfolio presentations at SDA, which was something that I was a nervous wreck beforehand because I could not imagine what I was going to need to do with AP Physics. It turned out to be absolutely delightful. Kids do projects that are amazing, and they're so candid about all the mistakes that they make and the successes that they have. It was really, really a wonderful afternoon. Morning. I also attended the San Diego Alliance's networking luncheon and also the adult transition program's exit ceremony, which was a very, very moving event. We were all present for the special board meeting to choose the search firm. I represented the board at Sunset High School's graduation ceremony. I also represented the board at Pacific Trails Middle School 8th grade promotion ceremony. I also represented the board at the San Diego High School Academy's graduation ceremony, in which I filled in for Mr. Salazar, who chose not to attend. I also attended the MEGA, which is a Mexican American Educational Guidance Association award ceremony, where 51 scholarships were given to Mexican American district students, all going on to college. I also attended the Encinitas City School District's Liaison Committee meeting Wednesday morning, which was a long meeting. in the afternoon, I too enjoyed the end of the year potluck luncheon presented by the district office staff, which is always a wonderful and very tasty
activity. Thank you. I was able to attend the Salute to Education that's hosted by the Rancho Santa Fe Security Company in Encinitas. It's also a Chamber of Commerce joint event, and they honor a teacher and a student from each campus that's in the Encinitas area, both our schools for San Ygito District, but also some of the private schools in the area. So that was a nice afternoon. I've done that for several years. Made it to the special board meeting for our interim and search firm selections. I was able to attend Carmel Valley's promotion and then Torrey Pines High School graduation, and was also at the Encinitas liaison meeting. I think we need to continue to have conversations about how we agendize items. Yeah. That does seem to be growing on us
here.
And the potluck here at the district office yesterday. I think that's pretty much what I made it to, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Also going to miss you, and let you give your one last final report.
Why, thank you. Well, first, I want to recognize that Dee Rich is in our audience today, and Mrs. Rich was a longtime board member. Yeah, clap for her. Yeah, long-serving board member, and was here at the beginning of my career in 2001, and was also on the board when I became the Associate Superintendent of Business Services, and so was always appreciative of Dee, and so thank you for coming tonight. It was nice to see you, and you certainly set the tone and a great example for what a active and involved and supportive school board member looks like. And, you know, certainly passed that torch on to Mrs. Herman, as I believe she essentially took your seat that. And so I want to thank our supportive board members for my time here. I certainly appreciate the support that I've had and the support that you've given our staff over the years. And, you know, if I say that I have any regrets leaving, I will say that there's two people over there that I only got to work with for 1 year, and that's Ms. Douglas and Ms. Frazee, and that I wish that we could have worked together longer, because it's been a great year with you two. And you know, Dr. Grove, whom I have worked with for 17 years, but I would say that the last 2 years, you know, our relationship and rapport just got that much stronger over the last 2 years, and I certainly couldn't have got through the last two without you leading the helm at the Ed Services side. And Mr. Miller, for all of your leadership and where you took us over the last year from where we were a year ago, you know, with special ed and all of the work that you put into the special ed task force to reach consensus and turning people who were detractors into our biggest supporters just 2 weeks ago in this room with the special ed task force. But I also want to recognize that's not the only thing that Mr. Miller does, because he has many things on his plate, and he handles them with great professionalism. And so thank you for you. And then, of course, two other people, Joe Schultz and Cindy Skiber. Cindy, who I hired twice. Joe, who I inherited twice. But it was a great inheritance. And again, we've been together since the very beginning, working in the same suite. And I just hope that my new assistant can live up to what I've come to expect with you and the way that you've taken care of me and also the school board, and make sure that we are on task and that you anticipate all of our needs. And you're just spectacular. So thank you. So that's my report.
I'll let you introduce our foundation report.
So I thought it would be good to end the year the way that we began. And if you remember back in September, we had an item that discussed our school foundations. And we had a number of people here that night. And so as we spoke that evening about who our foundations are, you know, our most active, involved, and supportive parents, and a reminder that they're more than just organizations, that they are the active parent arm and our public-private partnership that we have with our community, and the work that they do to support our students, to support our teachers, and to support our schools is really unprecedented when you look at other foundations. I know where I'm going. It doesn't look like what we have here, and I'll be very excited to work with that foundation, that district-wide foundation as well. But I've asked all four of our foundations to come and speak tonight to just highlight what they have done in the last year to support our schools, students, and teachers. And so they each have brief presentations. Unfortunately, I think La Costa Canyon was not able to make it tonight because everybody went on vacation. But I do see that we do have Torrey Pines, and we have SDA, and we have CCA in the audience. And so I will let you guys choose whichever order you would like to come up to the dais. And you know, again, this was just their opportunity to inform the board on what they did this year.
Well, we keep it geographical, so we're starting in the north, and then we'll go okay.
Okay.
told this or talk loud? I have to talk loud. I have boys. I'm used to projecting my voice. So just in case. Wonderful. Thank you. Honorable Board President Mrs. Hergesheimer and esteemed board members, my name is Leslie Saldana and I'm the Executive Director of the San Diego Academy Foundation. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight to briefly reflect on our efforts and effect that our organization has had on our students, our parents, and our teaching community this year. SDA has a strong school culture. We're known for that. And it works because it brings creative students, caring teachers, committed administrators, and a very supportive parent group together to enrich our children's education. We feel a big part of the reason our school is successful is due to the strong collaboration between our parents, students, and school staff. With over 20 years of serving the students of SDA, still one of the guiding principles of the SDA Foundation is that our decisions are based on an understanding of the goals and the priorities of our school, and that the programs we support will have the biggest effect and biggest impact on the most number of students. In short, it was a terrific year for the SDA Foundation. Our consolidated revenue through May 31st was $750,000, and we exceeded our revenue goals by 25%. Nice. Average donation was roughly $270 from approximately 1,000 donors. There are three major areas I'd like to highlight tonight. So first, what was outstanding about this year? That's an easy one. The time, talent, and treasure of our parent volunteers in the San Diego community. Our volunteer board of directors embraced our mission of enriching every student's SDA experience and the importance of good governance. Our annual gala, aptly named Taste, celebrated some of the best restaurants in town and included the highest number of freshman families. The support of our booster groups, loyal alumni, corporate partners, and local government made for an outstanding year. Next, what was different this year? A whole new admin team. Seriously, a new principal and two new assistant principals. So it made for lots of learning, but also plenty of opportunity to evaluate, adjust, and adapt. Principal Camacho and his admin team have been terrific to work with, and I'm really excited about the forward progress that we're making and working together to further enrich the student experience. We'll have new board leadership and some new directors next school year. These are new faces, but all in support, again, of our mission and an understanding of the importance of maintaining transparency and good controls. Lastly, what was impactful this year? Well, I wasn't allotted enough time to adequately express the impact the SDA Foundation has had on the campus of San Diego. The fingerprints of the foundation are all over our campus, and here are some examples of how we're making a difference. Our on-campus writing lab, staffed by a San Diego alum, this position offers personal tutoring to help students refine and improve their writing skills, and this year over 400 students were personally impacted by this one individual, a valuable resource. Counseling support, the foundation continues to support our counseling and career and college services. We hosted a career fair for our 9th and 10th graders that included a panel discussion and mock interviews. Our visual and performing arts, so these are equipment and materials and artists in residence programs that ensure a robust and enriching arts experience for all students. And we were thrilled to have been selected for both a city and county grant that enabled us to purchase much-needed equipment for our music and theater programs. SDA Athletics. Yes, SDA has athletics. We have 20 SDA CIF sports, and the support of the foundation ensured that our student athletes have a spirited and robust athletic experience. Parent forums to educate and inform parents on issues of importance and concern. Senior scholarships. These are support of graduating seniors, including ones given in recognition of and in memory of San Diego teachers and students. And you mentioned the event that was actually held on our campus on June 18th. I would love to have you come to our Senior Academy Awards that we have in May. And you mentioned Brian Cardenas was one of the teachers that spoke that evening. And it's just so touching, and we're just so pleased to be a part of it. And grad night. Right, the safe, sober, and fun-filled graduation party that we're all still recovering from. We're one of the few campuses and still has it on site, and it's something that we embrace and we appreciate, but it's planned, designed, organized, and coordinated by over 200 SDA parent volunteers. Mm-hmm. So it's quite an effort, but a great opportunity to celebrate our graduation. And speaking of graduation, I would like to publicly acknowledge Trustee D'Alessandro for attending and representing the district at our commencement ceremony on Friday. Your presence was felt and appreciated.
Thank you.
So as an alumna, a parent of alumni, and executive director, I've always maintained that San Ygito is a special place. The work the SDA Foundation does in support of all students is both humbling and meaningful. And I'm proud to be able to share our success with you. I'm grateful for the tireless hours of our volunteers, generosity of our donors, and the collaboration with the district and our community. Thank you.
Thank you. I also want to thank Ms. Saldana for braving L.A. traffic to get back here in time for this meeting.
Thank you.
It's getting queued up. My name is Shelley Stevenson. I'm the outgoing president of the foundation, and as I'm wrapping up my second year as president, it's been an honor to serve. I thank you, trustees, for allowing us the opportunity, and thank you, Eric. We're going to miss you. It's a great opportunity to share. I think collaboration is something that we have been working on with the other foundations, and it's certainly been a great opportunity to work together, as we all should. As you can see, we are TP, and we're really proud about it all the time. And which one do I click?
Left or right arrow.
Oh, got it. But first, I just wanted to share a story about the foundation. The foundation's had a lot of effects on students, and in this case, one of those is my son. Last year, he was a senior, and it was the first year we introduced the pathways at Torrey Pines and the CTE pathways, which gave students a little career opportunity to go a little deeper, or maybe explore something they never thought they might be interested in. Jacob wasn't one of those kids that liked to go to football games. He wasn't involved in the Torrey Pines athletics. They liked to surf, but he wasn't involved in the academic club. So he was trying to, you know, throughout his high school career, he really didn't find that place to connect, that didn't want to go to dance or football games or anything, you know, those kind of things. But he loved the outdoors, and he loved to tinker. So senior year, when we introduced the pathways, he signed up for the CAD class, which is a computer-aided design course. The Torrey Pines Foundation quickly learned that through the new teacher that was teaching that class, that it would be fantastic if we had a couple 3D printers so that the students could take their designs and then make them and bring it to fruition and see the results. That triggered this young man to decide that he wanted to study civil engineering and construction design. Wow. He's now at the University of Utah, couldn't be happier. He went from a student who didn't enjoy math to taking calculus and engineering, and wouldn't you know it, he's a math student. So that's my story about what just one, and there's so many other stories that the foundation, the differences the foundation's made for students like Jacob. So what would Torrey Pines look like without the foundation? And I have a chance to reflect on this, and so I wanted to share with you. Well, without the foundation and the Torrey Pines High School family that donate, that corporate sponsors, employers that match, parents that sell ads, and teams, clubs, liaisons, alumni, local restaurants, we wouldn't be at the 1.9 that we raised this year. What would Torrey Pines look like without these donations for athletics, performing arts, academic clubs, and donations exclusively to the TP Education Fund? We wouldn't have coaches, refs, athletic trainers, uniforms, equipment, banquets to honor the successes, events, transportation, camps, clinics, tournaments, and the list goes on. What would Torrey Pines look like without campus beautification, something we're really proud, thank you to Rebecca Klein, Rebecca, mm-hmm. our chair of campus beautification, mm-hmm. to just build more pride on campus, make the place a warmer place within our new learning commons, and in promoting our principal's pledge. What would Torrey Pines look like without the funding and the expenditures that we made last year? We had technology upgrades. We added carts, Chromebooks. We purchased 40 new Chromebooks for the English department and 40 for the social science department. We recently updated the journalism computer lab as well. We also offered 12 of the different departments items that they needed, specifics that they were missing to really elevate the learning for our students. What would Torrey Pines look like without challenge days? Oh gosh, I don't even know what that would be like. As a person, you know, someone who's been personally involved in challenge days for the last 5 years, it brings a sense of community, a sense of like tolerance and patience and understanding and appreciation that we're all so different. And it helps us identify those high-risk students. And PALS program, we support the PALS program. What would Torrey Pines look like without teacher mini-grants? Teachers get in the classroom every year, then they realize there's something else they need. So that's what we do. We provide mentoring and support through financial donations for the counseling department. We support the amazing AVID program. The goal of this national program is to ensure that students, especially minority and low-income students, get that college prep and get a path, and they get the goals and the training they need to be successful. Torrey Pines Foundation provides connectedness. We've attempted to do fun things like spring flings to bring families and future Falcons on campus. Grade-level coffees, which we never thought they would be so popular. We had more parents show up for the senior coffee than we did for the freshman, but it's growing with enthusiasm. And we're so excited. We just launched. Anyone can go to the App Store and download the new Torrey Pines High School app and stay in tune. You can pick your grade if you want to stay involved in all freshman activities, senior activities, both academic and performing arts and athletics. So we're working on building our connection with our community. And then I thought, well, what is Torrey Pines? What would it look like without parent volunteers? Wow. There would be no grad night for sure. Challenge days, we couldn't do those. Staff appreciation was off the charts this year. And so many more things that we do that we depend on our volunteers for. I really love what Torrey Pines looks like. I really do. And it's been an honor to serve. And in fact, this year, we are hitting 25 years since the foundation started. And you know who our founding member was? Joyce De La Salle. Joyce, thank you for starting something special that's truly made a difference at Torrey Pines. And look, you know, we're going to be around for another 25, but I honor you and I thank you.
Thank you.
And before I adjourn, we have, you know, sometimes you do a search and you hire someone. Sometimes it doesn't work out, right? You guys are going to go through this. Well, I can tell you, I've been through it myself. And we recently released our executive director. And I'd like to put a face with the name of the email I sent with the bio. Mm-hmm. If you just stand real briefly, Zephyr Fletcher is our new CEO.
Thank you.
Welcome, Zephyr. Okay. And now?
Ms. Goober.
Yes.
Please come on over.
We turn the lights down.
Sure, Cindy, do you want to hit the lights? Maybe one of them.
We're from CCA.
Theatrical lighting.
That's right.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Members of the school board, Superintendent Dill, parents, community members, my name is Christy Laliotis, and I'm the president of the CCA Foundation. The CCA Foundation is pleased to work in partnership with our school and district to achieve our mission of enriching the experience of every student every day. In the 2017 and 18 school year, our generous parents helped us to achieve record revenue for the first 11 months of the year of $1.9 million. Most of our donations are from individuals, primarily parents of students. We have over 1,200 individual donors, and the average gift is $272. How did we use the money? Everyone wants to know. Well, we listened to our teachers, coaches, admin staff to fund the needs that they requested. Let's start with athletics. Here you see a few of our coaches in the weight rooms with our new athletic director. That's him, hanging from the pull-up bar. And here's some of the items we funded for athletics. There's going to be a lot, so stay with me. Let's highlight a few. The big expense is coaches, but we also fund exercise equipment, like the TRX bands, which expand the number of workout stations that our PE classes have available. Tournaments, uniforms, transportation, supplies, player awards, and so on, for a grand total of $400,000 a year. And here are our Envision teachers. They're very creative, as you can see. And some of the items that we fund for Envision include, and not these aren't the only ones, but just to give you some highlights, sound equipment, conferences, clay. That's the pottery classroom they are standing in, by the way. Art supplies and guest artists, an orchestra shell, and it goes on and on for a total of about $200,000 per year. Right. Every year, our principal, Mr. Colleen, seeks input from the students, the staff, and parents about big ideas that they want to fund from the proceeds from our special events, like our gala. This year, we provided new lunch tables around campus at the suggestion of our students. This is our admin team at one of our new lunch tables. We also funded extra walkie-talkies, like the one on the table. And here's our admin team reenacting a typical student lunch. So the next slides are going to show you some of the things that we fund from our general and STEM funds. The English and math departments, world language, PE, social studies and science, and innovative classroom furniture, Chromebooks, and the College and Career Center, and much, much more, for a total of about $250,000 per year. And finally, in June, we had our graduation. We funded the San Diego Police Department officers that were there. That's Officer John in the photo. And the 2,580 chairs, the stage, the golf cart rentals, the speakers. We even paid for the diplomas, the diploma covers, and the programs, security, and an on-call ambulance. The honor cords, the graduates wore, and the list goes on and on for a total of about $17,500. And then there was grad night for another $50,000. So far this year, we have funded about $900,000 towards every student at CCA. And we have a long list of big ideas that the school will be implementing over the summer. So I want to thank you all. And actually, I want to thank our donors first, because without them, we don't have a job. So thank you to our donors, and thank you for letting us share what we've accomplished this year. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here this evening. I know we've come into summer break, and so we appreciate your coming in to our meetings and sharing some of that with us. Do we have any questions?
I want to say thanks for always pointing out the donors to us at graduation with Nastasia, and the biggest donors, they call them up the stage and gave them flowers. And I know it meant a lot to them, so continually saying that you can never say it enough. So thank you for making that such an effort back.
I was just going to say, I like that you pointed out not only the financial support, but all of the volunteer support and how important that is to a school community to build that through volunteers, and that donation of their time is really valuable too. So thank you for paying your time. Thank you so much.
I too would really like to thank you very, very much for what you have done. As you know, we are not a very well-funded school district. We get along with a lot less money than many, many other school districts in the state, and without the foundations, we would be without all of the things that you each talked about tonight, and it's just phenomenal that we have those. because of the foundations and because of the really hard work of all the parents and the executive directors who do such an incredible job of keeping it going, getting it going, keeping the enthusiasm and keeping the money coming in. Thank you.
I just want to thank our foundations for being that bridge between our schools and our parent community and providing many opportunities for parents to be involved in many different ways, in ways that they are comfortable with and always volunteer. And, you know, as we point out, there are many things we couldn't do without you. Our parent community steps in and supports us and provides opportunities for students that we would otherwise be unable to provide ourselves. And so we thank each and every one of our parents who supports. And I know from talking with many of them over the last few years that when parents give, they're donating for the experience of all students at that school and for the friends of their kids, and that those who have the means are always willing to step up and provide for parents who cannot. And so thank you again for all that work you do, and it's been a pleasure working with all of our foundations and all of our PTSAs throughout the district over the years. So thank you.
You know, I want to make one last comment. It's a lot of my thoughts that we want to for our clients is I'm amazed how many people want to come back and raise their kids here. They want to have the best experience. I mean, SDA, you have alumni lunch, 150 people show up. Yeah, I can't tell you how many of my friends are short times, and it's like I want my child to have that same experience. That's a testament in itself. So thank you.
Alright, well that brings us to our consent agenda, and what I would want to do is have a motion to approve.
Public comment.
Public comments, thank you.
And we have about 13 of these tonight.
Thank you. Alright, well first I have Deanna Rich, then Dee, or Mrs. Rich I should say. Would you please come to the speaker?
Thank you, Eric, and for that nice introduction, but I'm really sad to see you go, and I wish you well in what's going to happen. This is the end of the year, and I just went to two high school graduations for my grandchildren, but for those of you who don't know me, I was on the Del Mar School Board for 5 years before I ran for the high school board, and I was on the high school board for 24 years when we tripled in size. But what I was well aware of is that we were way down the bottom in terms of funding. And as the district grew, we wanted to make sure that not only did we have facilities, but we were able to adequately fund the programs and keep education and with the excellence of emphasis that we have always had. And I thank Joyce again for starting the foundation, although I was on the board then before she, when she came up with it. And I gave her a lot of trouble and had to open it every school before I opened it Torrey Pines.
And we did that.
But I really thank the parents. I mean, they are the backbone of our district. It just wouldn't be the same great place without you and without the foundation. So thank you so much for everything you've done. I was actively involved also. I've been kind of more political, and I'm still on the vice chairman of the Torrey Pines Planning Group. But it was really important in terms of legislation. There were lots of things going on at the state. And so I was part of the delegate assembly, which I have, it represents all the school districts in San Diego County, and I was president of the County School Boards Association and was on the legislative committee for the state. But the point of this whole story is I got to meet an awful lot of school board members, and we have some wonderful school board members here, but one of the most exceptional ones, I have to say, is Joyce. She was always there with creative ideas. And we wouldn't have had CCA. Our administration came to us and said, well, can't do it. Haven't got the permits. Haven't got the money. Can't do it. haven't got the time to pick on the administration.
Yeah, it wasn't anybody here.
But Joyce and I sat with the contractors, and we're sitting there playing like a crossword puzzle, and suddenly Joyce comes up with the idea, well, why don't we open with one grade on the parking lot? And we'll see how that works. And at first, it was no. But then she also does all this outreach in the community. Oh, I'm sorry. I've gone over time.
We have to wind it up. Sorry.
Anyway, I just want to say that she is one of the most fantastic school board members I have met in all of my years, and she's always kept education, quality, and excellence in the forefront.
What I'm going to do is I will call the next speaker up and also the name after them so that you can be ready to be queued up. So I have Lucienne McCauley, please, who will be followed by Caroline Brown.
Hi, I'm Lucienne McCauley, and I had two children that graduated from San Diego. My son graduated in 1995 from San Diego High School, and my daughter in 98 from the Academy. Anyway, I was invited to attend the DO luncheon yesterday because I forgot to mention I am a retired employee. I was here 19 years. And thanks to Cindy, she extended the invitation, so it was great. I wanted to come and say goodbye also to our superintendent, Eric Dill. And seeing Joyce, Beth, and Amy got me to thinking about how over the years they've been a familiar sight at groundbreaking ceremonies for the new schools, ribbon-cutting ceremonies, graduations, numerous school events during the year, events involving teachers and employees, you name it, they were there. Before joining the board, you were all parent volunteers who offered your time on behalf of your children and in doing so helped all children. By becoming a board member, your goal was to help all succeed, not just your own children. Otherwise, you would not have stuck around after your children graduated. You didn't come with a personal agenda for your child. Continuing to serve proves this to me. Thank you for always taking the time to read the agenda as soon as it was available to you, no matter how long it was, and questioning any items that needed clarification before the board meeting so that you could vote intelligently and responsibly. People who thought the board rubber-stamped everything had no clue as to what went behind the scenes. Many times I would see Joyce during the day walking purposely down the hall to meet with an administrator, and I would think to myself, there's Joyce again with all her agenda questions. Someone's going to get grilled for this for sure. Every board should have people like you who have dedicated to serve the students, parents, and employees. While it's impossible to please every student, every parent, every staff member, whether teacher or classified, you have worked hard to keep this district one of the best in the states. Thank you to the three of you, and I want to thank Eric Dill for your many years of service to this district. And one last thing, Joyce, if you were to change your name to Meg, the three of you plus Joe Schultz would be Meg, Joe, Beth, and Amy.
Okay,
Caroline Brown, and then followed by Andrew Johnson.
Yeah, so good evening. I am here for Solana Beach School District, on behalf of Solana Beach School District, to acknowledge the cooperative efforts by San Diego Union High School District with Solana Beach that allowed us to rent the Earl Warren Middle School campus for our Skyline students. The agreement was for 1 year while Solana Beach was reconstructing Skyline as part of its Measure JJ local bond issue. Special thanks to Eric Dill, John Adelman, Joel Van Hauser, and their teams for the planning and logistics around this activity that made it go very smoothly. As you're aware, our districts also received the San Diego County Taxpayer Association Golden Watchdog Award, honoring our joint efforts in delivering high-quality education facilities to our students and our community, as well as saving taxpayer dollars. We look forward to welcoming our students to Skyline in August. And the Earl Warren Interim Campus will be turned back over tomorrow to San Diego, keys and all. And we thank you very much, and we look forward to being partners in the future. And wish you well on your next
adventure. Thank you.
Skyline is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. excited. They know where they're going. We're all there.
All right. So we have Andrew Johnson, who will be followed by Wendy Gump.
Good evening. I'm here to ask the school board and any representative from the superintendent's office for help tonight. My name is Andrew Johnson. I work for the American Cancer Society, and I work with hundreds of volunteers in the community of Encinitas and Carlsbad to put on the Relay for Life of Carlsbad and Encinitas. Our event has recognized thousands of cancer survivors over the years, in addition to mobilizing thousands of members of the community to fight against cancer. To date, this event has raised over $1 million for cancer research, in addition to vital programs and services for cancer patients and their families across San Diego County. And the event is important to so many people. Today, I received an email notifying us that we would not be able to host our relay at Oak Crest Middle School in July because it needed to be seated and conditioned. However, we signed our contract, paid our fees, furnished insurance back in February and March, respectively, with no mention of this restriction at the time that we signed that until this point today. We've been publicizing this event for 5 months, and our volunteers are very eager to be at Oak Crest in July. Fact is, we don't really think we did anything wrong, and we think that we should be able to use that field on July 28th and 29th. I'm not here to scold or point fingers or rabble-rouse, but I just would really like some help and be able to have a conversation with somebody about saving this event. We're on track to raise about $175,000 this year, biggest year for this event in history. And I'm afraid if we have to relocate, we won't even get close to that. And what that really translates to is a lack of cancer funding and those programs and services that we provide in the county. So I'd love an opportunity offline to speak with somebody that might be able to help us find a solution. So my name is Andrew Johnson. My email is andrew.johnson@cancer.org. And my phone number is 562-354-0750. And I look forward to any opportunity to connect with somebody.
We can direct you to staff and to have them get in touch with you. So I'm expecting that.
Tina, that's all on here.
Perfect.
Thank you. Wendy Gump, and she will be followed by Rita McDonald.
First of all, I wanted to say that I was actually really happy to see the foundation presentations on there. I've been coming for 2 years, and that's the first time I've ever seen the foundations give a presentation to the board, so thank you for doing that. I think it was very important for start. However, my speech is interesting for the topic. So 2 years ago, I started asking questions about missing funds and the misuse of public funds. To this day, not one person has been able to answer my questions or address the concerns. Upon reflection of the last regular board meeting, I found it interesting when a number of members of the CCA Foundation, you can see clearly in the board minutes, demonstrated strong negative feelings about my public records requests. Beginning in October of 2016, I have continued to reach out to all foundations in the district, the board, and the administration. I have reached out to all of you to understand the policies, procedures, and to better understand the flow of money in our public school district. What I have received in return is harassment, slanderous comments. I have been defamed. We have been bullied and stalked. But as you can see from my perspective, this isn't about emotion. San Diego Union High School District is a public school district, not a private school. Being a public school means ensuring the public's trust, ensuring equal access to students and attendance at the public school. This is about where is the money? Why such secretive behavior? Here is an example of the questions about the money with respect to the Torrey Pines High School Foundation. From 2013 to now, there is $7.8 million unaccounted between the Torrey Pines High School Foundation and the district. 75% of monies indicated by Torrey Pines High School Foundation 990s are not accounted for on district books. These are facts. I will continue to assert my rights as a California taxpayer under CERPA to receive public records until I understand clearly how every dime raised by the foundation makes its way into our public schools. Why? Because their charters say, school board policy says, and they tell parents that, school-connected organizations exist solely for the benefit of district schools. And I have the policy right here. It's super highlighted. That's what it says. As I continue to peel the onion and learn more information, I will continue to expose other issues that pop up, including but not limited to collusion, district misdeeds, the condoning of teacher misconduct, athletic transfer ineligibility, using our public school like a private boarding school for out-of-state athletes, the unwillingness to conduct business with acceptable processes and follow their own district policies,
and the abuse of power of administrators towards students, parents, and in some instances, staff. Since this endeavor, we have seen positive change in the district, starting with appropriate fundraising training, parents and students finding a voice because they realize there are people out there that will listen, that will stand with them while they need to be heard. Also during this endeavor, Torrey Pines High School Athletic Department is now on CIF probation for the next 2 years due to their many misdeeds over the past few years due to extremely poor leadership. I'm wrapping up. I am hopeful that the board will hire a qualified superintendent that follows the policies that you, the board, have enacted in this district and further follows state and federal laws as appropriate for a public school system and is a true leader that is strong with a humble confidence. This district needs someone to represent the interests of students and understands a parent's position and the role as parents we play in the public education system. The teachers have their union and the majority school board. The foundations represent their own interests and are not engaging of the parent community. Their meetings are not public, they are secret, and as public records show, conduct dealings with district staff in secret when approvals need to be at the board level.
I need you to wind up at this point.
For the most part, we have a fantastic district. But we are only as strong as our weakest link. We are, as we have seen year over year, the lack of solid leadership and transparent communication has brought the weaknesses into light.
You've exceeded
it is time
by
to fix our house.
Time.
We should be setting the example in the county of what good looks like.
Lisa McDonald and then Leah is following her.
Where to begin? That is the question. First, I'd like to thank Maureen for her outstanding comments about the security of the schools. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated what you said, Mo. It's like there is no sense of urgency. Torrey Pines is wide open. When this district chose, rather than put up temporary fencing, to spend $25,000 on electric charging stations. That just kind of shows you the priority. The security of our children is less important than electric car chargers that are going to be used by one or two people. But anyway, moving right along, I'd like to thank Wendy. Wendy's experienced a great deal of harassment, but she's been a real trooper. She's soldiered on. I respect her immensely for shedding a light. You know, when people talk about priorities, oh my goodness. You know, $1 million was given to the teachers' union by not requiring the reimbursement of the president of the union's salary for 7 years. $1 million was given away. And then people complain about Wendy and her public records request when $1 million just dissipated because the education code was ignored. The education code requires that the union reimburse the district for time of its employees spent doing union business. 7 years went by, no reimbursement. Shameful, just shameful. And then to trivially lambaste Wendy, it's just outrageous. When this doesn't even, it's not even worthy of a discussion. And then we have our dear friend Alexi and his son, and how there is no process with respect to expulsions. There is no methodology. There is no procedure. There is no training of what's acceptable language, acceptable joking around. None of this exists. And if you're going to have a process whereby you're going to ruin a kid's academic career, I think the least you can do is have training at the schools explaining to the kids, hey guys, don't Snapchat these words. Don't even joke about this stuff. Because if you do, we're going to expel you. And then you're going to have a big problem getting into college. Because obviously society has changed a great deal with all these shootings. And so the kids need to understand, because they are kids, what's going on, what your expectations are. Thank you.
Thank you. So it would be Leah Wolf and then Tim Staser.
Good evening, everyone, the board, the staff, the community. I am really happy to be here for a few reasons. I want to say, first of all, Rick is not here, Rick Ayala. And I'm so excited that finally the board members responded to my questions and Rick Ayala took the time to, and I'll explain the context of it shortly, to respond to all my concerns. I wasn't here on June 7th meeting, but I have learned there were few expulsions in the district. To those who don't know me, I'm very big on kids' advocacy and their well-being. It comes from my own personal experience, understanding that the school boards, district, and principals do not always do the right thing, and they always not always follow the guidelines or the law. They actually fail often because they want to cover up issues and other things. So what I have learned about Alexei and the expulsions that are happening in the district, I really wanted to understand the process. I wanted to understand the decision-making when these things, these incidents happen. What is the process to make the decision to expel a student? On what basis? What are the matrix? So I read also the government reports. And I reached out and I said, despite not attending the last board meeting, I have learned much about these expulsions and my heart dropped with sadness. What I really was looking for is to understand fully whether, what is, if the process is clear to all stakeholders. Stakeholders include students, parents, principals, teachers, everyone. Everyone in the community. So I reached out and I said, how do we test risk, danger, and threat? What merits expulsion or denying a child an access to education, especially when professionals evaluated and concluded beyond reasonable doubt that he or she was not any threat or risk to himself or others. I'm going to repeat this again because I got this information. If the child is not a threat to himself or others and was evaluated by professionals, what right this district has to deny a kid to an education and expel him for 4 or 5 months and still deny him access to the school? What are the matrix that you use? You are the juror, the executor, the lawmaker. It's all at your discretion. I appreciate your responses. I disagree with them because your procedures are not clear to anyone. I ask very clearly, are these phrases clear to students? How do you impart training to the parents and the students? He said they should know better. It's the parents' responsibility. Oh, no. If you're going to harshly punish these kids, it's your responsibility as leaders to impart that knowledge to the students and the kids that these are forbidden phrases.
Thank you.
You cannot...
Speaking.
One more sentence, Beth. I really appreciate it. One more sentence. You cannot send a 100-page manual or handbook to the kids and assume that they know everything. As you get training and professional development,
you
should do the same.
Thank you.
You should do the same for the kids.
Thank you, Mr. Sousa.
Good evening. I'm Tim Sacer, and I'm a special ed teacher at Torrey Pines. Also a father of a special ed student in our district, a STFA president for our district, and I'm also a citizen of this district. And Eric, I sincerely mean this. I'm going to miss you. Good luck.
Thanks.
With everything there. And to the trustees, thank you for the opportunity to come up here to the dais tonight as an advocate for expediency in the selection process for our new superintendent. Our school district is at a major crossroad, and as the school board is deciding on whom to captain our ship as the new superintendent of San Diego Union High School District, students, parents, community members, teachers, and administrators wait in limbo. School district business is time sensitive. While students are out on break, planning for the upcoming school year continues with teachers and administrators planning and building for the next school year and beyond. Every day counts, and once that first bell rings throughout the district come August 28th, there will be little time for even the finest of superintendents to be at their best. It is not hard to agree that our school district, as great as it is, needs direction from the top. The most important job a school board has is to assure the stakeholders that the leader they hire has a sound and clear direction. I'm imploring you, our current school board, plus John, to join us as one and choose our next superintendent in a timely manner so that our new leader has sufficient time to get to know SDUHSD for its strengths and challenges. Every day we are without a permanent superintendent puts whoever will be in that position further behind in getting us all ready for 2018-19. I honor the importance in vetting the stakeholders in our district, but I also want to stress the urgency of our need for a speedy decision on a strong academic leader with a sense of how to maintain and grow our district's excellence. The time for supporting self-serving agendas has to yield to the importance of selecting a superintendent judiciously and as soon as possible. Thanks.
Thanks to
good
luck.
Thank you.
Next, I have Stephen Lukashev, followed by Alexei Lukashev.
Good afternoon, board members and the community. My name is Stefan Lukashev. I've been standing in front of and speaking to this board several times already, suggesting my help in preventing discipline incidents, which I was directly involved in, and what became a serious issue in my school and in the district after what happened to me. The district did not hear me then, but I hope you can hear me now. Since the county decided on my case several weeks ago, the district still considers me as a threat with no grounds, and it deeply hurts my reputation. But I'd like to turn over this page and to move forward with my home school, Torrey Pines, and this district. I'd like to show the board and the community what kind of a person I am and what can students do for a good cause. It's called the 24-hour swim challenge. So drowning is the second leading cause of accidental deaths among children. The Swim 24 Challenge brings swimmers of all ages together one day and for one cause only, to eliminate childhood drowning. Teams of 12 people swim in a relay format for 24 hours and raise a minimum of $100 per person. The average cost to teach a kid is only $100, so each member of the team will raise enough money to save at least one life. The event will take place in at the Boys and Girls Club in Solana Beach on August 11th and 12th. I've contacted my peers, swimmers from high schools in the district, Torrey Pines, La Costa Canyon, and Canyon Crest Academy, those of whom I was not allowed to swim with this CIF season. But now we can make the foundation for a strong team out of students and be an example for others on how to spend their free time supporting a good cause and saving lives and having fun. I'm not seeking financial aid from the district, but instead I'd like to engage the district in their students' activities by providing help in spreading the message and rallying the support of students for a cause we can all stand behind. Parents, students, and the school system will stand with us. I am certain we will make you and ourselves proud. If someone from the public can participate in the team and or support us with any donation, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Can I have a flyer?
Yes,
I'll send it out.
And I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name. Thank you. Alexei Lukashev, followed by Carla Quintero.
Good afternoon, board members and members of the community. My name is Alexei Lukashev, and today I will supplement my statement from the June 7th board meeting. It has been already 3 weeks since the County Board of Education decided on my son's case. The district refuses to reinstate my son. Even though the county decided that the district's expulsion order was unlawful, my son decided by his own decision that he would fulfill all the requirements that the district suggested for readmission. He did not have to comply with the conditions because of the county decision ordered immediate reinstatement. The law states that the order's legal consequences is as if the expulsion never occurred. Nevertheless, my son completed all the conditions to show the district he is dedicated to return to school. He is dedicated to move forward. I'm proud of my son. Despite these commendable efforts by him, the district still refuses to talk to us. The district refuses to work together with us, and I'm asking why. Discipline and safety in this district's school became a serious issue in the recent time. The leadership of the district and school should be an example of the integrity and trustworthy we want to instill in our students. Students in their teenager years are very sensitive. They have a strong sense of injustice, and their disagreement may be often expressed in the form of behavior that violates education code. I want to leave the governing board and the community members with a question to think about. I ask the governing board to answer this question in the privacy of your thoughts and with the responsibility we all owe to the young people in our school district. Please answer this question with a recognition that each of you have a responsibility to set an example of integrity for the students, since you are the leaders of our schools and our district. And the question, how can we require obedience from students if the district leadership and adults show them examples of purposeful failure to follow the rules mandated by the appropriate legal authorities? Thank you.
I will be interpreting for Carla Quintero.
Buenas noches, directores del distrito escolar.
Good evening, school board members.
Estoy aquí para hablarles de mi hijo Edgar. Me gustaría informarles sobre su periodo desde su última reunión.
I am here to speak with you about my son Edgar. I would like to inform you about the period since the last meeting.
Él ahora asiste a un programa diferente para continuar sus estudios. En este programa, él ha mostrado buen comportamiento.
Now, he is attending a different school program to continue his studies. In this program, he has shown good behavior.
Él ha completado servicio comunitario y él va a continuar durante el verano.
He has completed community service and he will continue during the summer.
Él ha estado asistiendo a clases de consejería, tales como toma de decisiones, control de ira o temperamento.
He has been attending counseling classes, such as making good decisions and anger management.
Mi hijo ha mostrado ser una persona madura. Ha mejorado, es un mejor hermano. Es la primera vez que Edgar ha tenido un problema de conducta.
My son has shown a more mature perspective. He is a good brother. This is the first time that he's had any problem with his conduct.
Pero como dije antes, no es el error que la escuela declaró.
But as I said before, the error, the mistake, is not the mistake that the school claimed.
Finalmente me gustaría compartirles sobre las consecuencias para nuestra familia y para Edgar.
Finally, I would like to share with you about the consequences for Edgar and for my family.
Lo que pensaríamos concluiría con una ceremonia de graduación cambió nuestras vidas para siempre.
It could have ended with a graduation ceremony. Instead, it changed our lives.
Como antes, ahora estoy pidiendo solución. Una solución más justa para un niño de 14 años solamente.
As before, I am requesting a more just solution for a boy of 14 years old.
Gracias por la oportunidad de escucharme.
Thank you for the opportunity of listening to me.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any compassion?
Edgar Kihana.
Good evening, school board. I am here today to tell you about what I have been doing since the last time I was here. I completed community service for a local church and a food distribution program. For the church, I helped build stage equipment to support a fundraising event for kids. I also learned how to set the wood so we could build structures. I also volunteered to organize food packages for people who cannot afford food in the store. I am learning how to choose my values and then behave in a way that is consistent with my values. I have met great people through the counseling. I did not walk at my 8th grade graduation. That was hard for me. I want to go back to school. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally, we have Curtis Davis.
Good evening, members of the governing board, members of the community. My name is Curtis Davis. I represent students and parents in education legal matters, including student discipline cases. I work with an organization called Advocates for Children in Education, ACE. We began as a law student organization, and we've grown. We mainly represent students and parents in the North Interior School Districts. At the last board meeting, I talked about my client's cases, Mr. Lukashev, Stefan, Ms. Quintero, and her son Edgar. And I explained how Stefan was expelled, and we used the county appeal rights to file an appeal, and we had an oral argument against the district and their lawyer on May 31st. The County Office of Education oversees the 42 school districts. Any order the county produces is legally binding on this school district. That order reversed the expulsion and ordered the record be expunged. This morning, my clients, Mr. Lukashev, printed on the district website from the parent portal a page where the status of his son is still expelled in violation of this order. Every day that remains the case is additional legal liability on this board. And we've been in communication with other legal organizations and attorneys. This will be litigated. You're going to have to answer to this. And it didn't have to be that way. We ask ourselves, why has the district not worked with us on this case? If you look at the district's legal counsel, their attorney, Arthur Palkowitz, you can Google Art Palkowitz. In 2015, the Union Tribune Watchdog wrote an article. It's titled, Lawyer Fined $5,000 for Playing Both Sides. The attorney that represents this district was fined for sitting on a school board while approving government contracts to the law firm that he works at. It doesn't have to be this way. With the Quintero case, we do not need to be adversarial again. It's early in the case. I've been talking to counsel and asking to speak with you to work out a solution, and there's been no progress. We're in the same position, and it's going to be expensive again. It doesn't make sense economically or logically for us to be doing the work this way. There's been a lot of talk about working together, and I'm asking for that again tonight. I'm excited to hear that some community members are interested in this issue, and I have worked on dozens of these cases throughout the last 4 years, and I would love to speak to you more about the procedure. It's a long procedure. Student commits an act. There must be a hearing at the district level within 30 days. That hearing consists of an administrative panel who are other administrators selected from different school sites. That means that the district is one party, the student carrier is the other party, and the district is deciding for itself. That's why these cases must be taken to the county level, because the district is deciding on their own terms. If the legal requirements are not followed, the school board has no jurisdiction, and that's what I'm seeing in these cases. Please work with me. Opportunity still stands. Thank you.
We are behind you. We are definitely behind you. This is where the money goes. Stop wasting our money, guys. Stop wasting our money.
I'll have order in this meeting so that we can get through the items of business, please. At this point in time, I would like to ask for a motion to approve items 11
through 15, with the exception of 15A3 and 15F, as was indicated earlier.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. And that will be a roll call, please, Ms. Schultz.
Ms. Meir.
Yes.
Ms. Herman.
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer.
Yes. All right, that brings us then to discussion on the specific items. We had 15A3 pulled.
Yes, I have, I would like to recuse myself on that item due to conflict of interest.
All right. If there's no other discussion, we can.
I do have a question.
Sure.
I actually was going to pull that too. Is which attorneys have we seen recently?
Well, we use them for a variety of. What do you mean by that? We've seen recently.
Just, and what about the gentleman that was here when they had?
That was not from this firm.
Okay, that's right. I wasn't sure if it was.
Right. No.
Okay. If there's no other questions or discussions, could I have a motion to approve item 15A3, please?
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, and there will be another roll call, please.
Ms. Meir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Okay.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. So that will carry. And item 15F, we have a speaker, Reed McDonald. Please.
Point out on 15 at expenses, if you scroll down, you'll see that 15F expenses, there is our expenses indicated number 14412417, a date of 6/1/2018, Mission Federal Credit Union. And then it shows the paid to Mission Federal Credit Union for building materials of $16,590, custodial materials of $2,930, grounds material of $10,594, material and supplies of $4,333, non-capitalized equipment of $1,077, other transport supplies of $32.31, refreshments of $121.76, rents and leases of $1,040. Why is this money going to Mission Federal Credit Union? This makes no sense. I would like to request a board member ask for a review of this. Thank you.
And as always, we can direct you also to speak with staff if you have questions.
I can answer that for the board. It makes perfect sense, and you see this every month on our warrant reports. We have a credit card with Mission Federal, and so we use that often to purchase materials and supplies. And so while you see the individual categories of items, we break out those bills, and all the invoices are backed by those credit card statements. And so these are routine items of business that we do, and the board has seen these expenditures for 7 or 8 years at least.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions or discussion from the board on this item?
So what I'll say is that while we purchase from a vendor, we remit to Mission Federal, who is the credit card carrier.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve item 15F, please?
Move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. And that is also a roll call.
Almost have the timer go off.
Thank you.
Ms. Meir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. And item 16 will come to us from Ms. Douglas. It's the adoption resolution or tax and revenue anticipation. That's our transfers.
So our trans, this is for the 18-19 school year, and in essence what that does is helps us in terms of cash flow. So as you are all aware, probably about 95% of our revenue comes in from property taxes, and that's only dispersed twice a year. And so we have months where we're not receiving that on a monthly basis. And so this helps us when we have those months where the cash is lower. And so this is something that we've been bringing forward for the last couple of years. This is a not-to-exceed amount. And as we move through the rest of our cash flow projections with the agency, we'll be firming up what that number would look like, but it's not to exceed the $20
million. All right. Are there any questions for Ms. Douglas on this item?
Thank you.
May I have a motion to adopt the train?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. It will be a roll call for the resolution.
Ms. Mirror?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. Thank you. Item 17, we have a speaker slip again from Ms. McDonald. If you want to come to the dais.
Yes. On May 31st of this year, I did a public records request to Ms. Tina Douglas, requesting records regarding, and I'll read it to you. I would like records related to the developing and implementing action plans to support student and parents' sense of connectedness to the school. I'm sorry, that's what this is supposed to be. The goal of collaboration to serve as an advisory group to the district in support of the San Diego Union High School District's LCAP goal number 4. So the school has a social and emotional learning collaborative. It's a group composed of staff and members of the public. And I requested to get information about this through a public records request. And I was told that I would get these records on June 10th. They never came. I emailed a subsequent time on the 15th. They never came. Then, thankfully, Maureen got involved, and eventually, because of Maureen's involvement, the records came 9 days afterwards on the 19th. And I think it's just so disrespectful that when you, Tina, email me and say you're going to have records to me by the 10th, if you're running late, I'm a reasonable person. You could have emailed me and said, Rita, I'm sorry I'm running late. I'm going to need a few more days. There wouldn't have been a problem. But the fact that I have to email over and over and over because you don't show me any respect and you're not doing your job as you said you were going to do your job. Not me, you. And it's just really inappropriate. In addition to that, Eric, John asked you to appoint me to the Parent and Student Advisory Board. He said, and you said, Eric, hi, Eric. Rita McDonald sent me the attached email about a parent advisor board. I nominate her to the board. Then you say back to John that, hey, you know, that this board is already in place. And you say that the parent reps were selected by principals. However, based on the public records that I got from Tina, not Torrey Pines, where my kid goes, not Torrey Pines, I'd like to give this to the board so you can see that Torrey Pines has no parent rep and that you misrepresented to John, who's on the board, who nominated me, that they've already been chosen, not at my school. You also said that my kid is graduating in 2 weeks. Well, so what? The four of the members have no children that go to school and have it for decades. So whether your child attends school, I guess if you can be a board of trustee and not have kids attend school, then I should be able to get on the advisory board with a nomination from John Salazar.
Again, these were submitted by principals based off of parent involvement at their schools. And it's not a board, it's just a committee, and it's comprised of staff and people that are active at their schools promoting wellness.
That's not what you said in an interview.
Okay. So Ms. Douglas is bringing this before us.
Actually, no. Nope. I'm sorry, I miswrote that. That's Dr. Grove would be the LCAP.
Oh, okay.
So, as you know, we submitted for last meeting and held our public hearing on our LCAP and our annual update for the LCAP. Okay. So we are bringing it back tonight for approval.
Thank you. Any additional questions or discussion? As it is a second read, it should be at the point where we can make a motion, please, to adopt the 2017-2020 district LCAP.
Move approval. Move adoption. Sorry.
Second.
Okay, thank you.
One thing I'd like to ask, Mike, is can we find out how many kids went to 40 colleges and how many went to two this last graduation?
Yes, so we do an exit survey with seniors, so that's our best data on that. We typically have counselors that we have do that reporting over summer, so I can get that report.
Okay.
All right, well, it's been moved and seconded, so I'm going to call for a vote. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, that carries unanimously and brings us to item 18, which is adoption of our proposed 2018-19 district budget, general fund, and special funds. And this is Ms. Douglas.
And also we have a speaker slide.
Oh, thank you. Rita McDonald again, please.
First of all, I'd like to know when you folks are going to do something about our deficit spending issue. So over the past 2 years, we've accumulated a deficit of $10 million. Go figure. You know, I mean, we can't keep going down. We can't keep going down this highway because by 2020, if we continue, we're going to be bankrupt. Not a good look. So for a high-performing district. So that's one area that really needs to be worked on. I think the contract with teachers needs to be renegotiated. Or there's another solution. If you don't want to renegotiate, why not combine this district with all the little districts around it and so that we have economies of scale and we have efficiency? I mean, there are things that can be done creatively where you have all these administrators that are making $200,000 to $300,000 a year, and you have classroom sizes where you have, at Torrey Pines, an average of 38.5, but one in five of those classes is over 39 students per teacher. Utterly ridiculous. And the same goes at CCA. Utterly ridiculous. A decade ago, when my firstborn son graduated from Torrey Pines, the class size was about 30 to 1. It's changed in the past decade dramatically since my younger son graduated a couple days ago. And I feel sorry for these kids that are squeezed into classrooms like sardines. It's really sad. So I hope you guys can think creatively, solve the budget problem so that we don't go bankrupt. No more deficit spending. Guys got to get your act together. You got to do it quickly. One other thing. Eric, in an interview with the Coast News, you said, you used the word advisory group, advisory board. You used those words in that interview.
I don't believe I've spoken to the Coast News in months.
All right, well, that brings us to
I'll send you the
Ms.
article.
Douglas,
my pleasure.
Please.
So the 18-19 budget is presented for adoption. There are no changes from the first read from two weeks ago. So it's the same as what we presented before.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I know a lot of work has gone into this, and I think all of us are looking at the bottom line, concerned about that, but we've been continuing to have those discussions, and we'll have them
into the future about what ways we can look at cutting back in some areas, but we appreciate the...
We definitely will be looking at savings between now and trying to see what we might be able to do in terms of efficiencies for possibly the second semester. I will not ask for it to go bankrupt.
Thank you.
Well, and I'd like to thank staff. I know over the years that we've historically just tried to put brakes on things, not have draconian measures, and yet over this, even this past year or two, there have been items that have come before us. We've chosen to do them. They were the right things to do. They came with a price tag, and so we'll have to continue to look. But we've brought on social workers, and we've picked up pool fees and done things that people have asked for that we felt were worthy and the right thing to do, and so I appreciate your guidance moving forward as we continue to look at the budget. But I would seek then a motion to adopt this budget as it's come before us the second time.
I'd like to put an amendment on this. I would like to put the all the safety items in the budget.
The safety items are in the budget.
Those are immediately, all of them. So we immediately go through all the schools. Is that I got to tell you something. I did meet with Tina for a long time. And I said, could it be possible? And she said, yes. I said, that you could, we could put this in the budget. And I emailed you and I said, why aren't we immediately doing safety? Is that going to tell you, that's one of the reasons I put it down. It's because we immediately have a budget. You still get a budget. All this is coming out of different places. But it's like, okay, this phase, that phase. Mm-hmm. What do you do when something happens? Like I said, now we're kind of hoping something doesn't happen. We can't let that happen. Safety should be our priority.
Well, I will say that we had a public meeting. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago where we discussed the budget, and there were no suggested changes at that time. So the work that the staff has done has been to bring back that budget. And so at this point, what we're presenting is what is the work that we have done that we have to approve, because if we don't do that, then we will not have a budget to present to the county.
I'm going to have trying to get more information on the budget, on the safety issues.
And we've explained over and over that those items that are in the capital budgets, those items which are out of the general fund, so we have done, we have explained that to you. And
I
so
that, but it's like we should be doing it all at once. It should be your priority. It should be in our budget.
Well, what I will say is that in the future, so at this point, you cannot amend this because the SACS forms as prepared are what we're going to submit to the county. If you would like to make a change in the future, you can do that through the interim budget process. But at this point, with the adopted budget, it is as presented, and that is what we're going to have to submit to the state. Because we cannot change this tonight in order to get that submitted.
I can still make the motion for an amendment.
Can I just chime in a minute as well? At this point, I think everything that we need in the sense of perimeter security and things of that nature, we've identified dollars for out of Melrose, and I sent the email kind of explaining what that is. If we're looking at getting cameras across the campuses, we have some money still left over for that. We won't even know what that looks like until after we get through the pilot with Tori, and then we kind of go through and see what the need is at each of our other school sites. So we wouldn't even know at this point what to put in a budget until we get through that kind of first phase, if you will.
I guess, you know, we had a resolution to spend months. Sometimes you did that, and when I talked to him in front of you, he said you could put it in a budget. I said, Phil, if we don't get this authority, then we're just going to keep going, well, the next phase, the next phase, we won't even have the money.
But I thought the resolution wasn't really specific to projects like that. We had concepts we've been approaching, and we've been putting those forward, and staff has been moving those projects along, and we are paying for the projects as they're being done. I think there's some confusion about how we get those projects done and paid for, and there's not a safety budget, just like there's not a drinking fountain budget or I'm trying to think of a good example. I think there's some cross purposes.
This is more important than a drinking fountain budget.
We don't have line items,
but it should be a line item going forward, so we're always ready. I think we've had all these instances happening on campus recently, been in Torrey Pines, and I feel like, well, we're going to roll this out. Now we've got one, two phases coming out. It should be immediate. We're coming in the summer. We can take care of those. And if it's not a budget, it's not a priority.
Ms. Muir, some of these phases have to go through DSA approval. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't even be able to start them until the next fiscal year.
Like, you should always have money earmarked for things in the future. It's like, I asked you, Tina, you said, you know, we've got money this, but we're going to have to look for more money.
We are. I mean, anything at this point that we add to the budget, we will definitely have to remove.
So if you would like to increase the deficit, we could add all of that in there.
I think that, you know, you can make a decision what else maybe we wouldn't be funding. I don't know. I've been asking for months for this. All I'm asking for is amendment. I'm making the motion for amendment to this motion.
Well, I think we've heard we can't amend this budget if we don't approve
the budget. If there's no second,
I made the motion, and if that's a second, I will be telling people that, guess what, this is important. We should have done our budget. I've been asking here for months. I emailed you to put this in the budget. He had told me it could happen on Friday.
Okay. Well,
should be first. Always.
And I believe we are addressing safety items.
We're rolling it out, and right now we're someone to take.
I don't feel prescient to know what we have to do to make everything 100% safe.
And I will remind that during the spring that I've sent out several lengthy messages to our parent community on all of our efforts towards safety. And so that information has been out there, and we have had safety updates at every meeting since March.
The audit was just completed in August.
So we're making progress towards all of this, and we've explained.
Emailing Tina, it's not that I haven't made the effort. It's been going on for about 2 months.
And we've explained each time what's coming out of capital funds, what's coming out of general fund.
And it's rolling out where it should be immediate if there's a priority in our budget. Thank you.
Well, and I think it is a priority, but as we'll see with the safety update we have coming on later on the agenda, it is mm-hmm. complex, and we need to make sure that we are putting the proper entities and all of those in place in order to do that.
But there's money for that, so we can go in there and it can be immediate. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know the whole of this. We've been talking about this for most of the time. I have to come to my house, they'll fix something right then.
I'm asking for a motion to update the proposed 2018-19 district budget.
Cut the legal fees.
You know what? There's a motion on the table already.
Yeah.
And
it did not get seconded. So okay, just want to make
that
sure.
That one has failed. So that motion fails. I'm seeking a new motion to adopt the 2018-19 district budget as presented, and we'll have ongoing updates, quarterlies, and other opportunities to give staff direction.
And to amend the budget throughout the year as you do naturally.
You know, I have to say, if something happens, I hope nothing does. And that's all we're talking about, I hope. It's unfortunate.
So second. Thank you. You can just vote this one. Yes. I was making sure we didn't need a roll call, sorry. So all in favor, please.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Thank you. Item 19 is adoption of a resolution for designation of applicant agent for non-state agencies, Governor's Office of Emergency Services. And Ms. Douglas will tell us what that is.
So in January 2017, we experienced a loss of two transformers due to heavy wind and rainstorms. So we submitted a claim to the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services for $14,160, and we received the grant, so we'll be getting the money back for the cost of those. And in order for us to do that, we have to have the board adopt a resolution. And this resolution will allow us to put into place and submit for any future grant in the event of any other type of loss due to any type of rain or damage or things of that nature for a 3-year period of a time as opposed to just by incident. So
okay. Are there any questions for Ms. Douglas? No. Not I need a motion, a second, and it will be a roll call.
Move approval.
Second.
Thank you. Ms. Schultz, please.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. Item 20 is a safety update. Do I have any other speaking groups?
Nope.
Worry about this evening? Thank you. Again, Ms. Douglas.
Okay. So, this month, a couple of things for the safety update. Back in April, we received approval from the board for us to go ahead and enter into an agreement for CMAS for us to be able to purchase surveillance cameras at Torrey Pines. So as we did that, we identified the cameras for perimeter security. We'll have cameras that will be able to capture any entry and exit off of the campus. And so that's one of the contracts forward for approval tonight. In addition to that, we also have the drafts, if you will, the plans for the perimeter fencing around SDA and Torrey Pines. It'll be done in three phases. So phase one would be the perimeter fences that doesn't require DSA approval. So that will be part of phase one, and that's what the approval here is for tonight, is taking a look at those. Phase two then would be anything that would require DSA approval. And so what we'll be looking at is, like we've talked before, limiting access onto the campuses. And then phase three, once we get through that, that's going to have some more conversations involved around student access areas and things of that nature. And so we'll still be working with the principals over the course of that. Phase three is going to be the most costly. And so what we're trying to do is limit the access at this point. And then once we get to phase three, which probably won't be until the 18 or the following school year, then we'll have to identify what that might look like, because right now we're estimating phase three to be somewhere to the tune of almost $10 million. So that's the other piece that's before you. And there's some plans, if you will, that kind of show where all the fencing is, mm-hmm. what phase one looks like, where phase two is. Mm-hmm. And then the last piece of that would be the revised board policies. And there'll be more coming. And the one of them is the comprehensive safety plan. As I informed before, we're working on updating all of that, working on updating the EOC. The campus security one adds surveillance to it. We'll have to work on getting signs up and things of that nature. So there's a lot of things. You can't just put a camera on campus, so there's a lot of things that we have to do prior to. And then there'll be more coming in future meetings as we finish up trying to finalize what that revised draft will look like for our first meeting with the District Safety Committee meeting in September when they come back.
Can I ask, I know we have been waiting for that, we had a safety audit done that started before we were aware of mm-hmm. some of the incidences that were going to happen that triggered some urgency here. Do we know other types of projects that have been recommended from them that we need to be?
So ultimately looked at really was surrounding perimeter security and access to campus. And so everything that really has been identified, that's what we're working on. So they talked about the containing one focal point or mm-hmm. one entryway on campus when and all possible. They've talked about limiting blind spots, and that will help with that. They've talked about signage, and so we're working on getting the roofs of our buildings painted so that if a helicopter were to come in, they could clearly identify the buildings from the air. They've talked about our EOC plans and our safety plans, and that's one of the reasons why we're kind of giving them an overhaul, because they haven't been updated in quite some time, and there's a lot of things that have changed since then. Our plans talked about lockdown, but didn't really talk about like a run, hide, fight during a threat protocol and things of that nature. So everything that has been identified, we have been working on closing off our campuses without having to cost us any additional dollars. So we have gates that have been left open that our principals are now closing down so that during school hours, people can't access the campus from all around. So everything that the Raptor system, which we will be getting at all of our school sites, and that's the electronic visitor badging system where they'll scan their ID. Everything that's been in there, that's part of what we've been addressing.
Thank you. Any other questions?
So the only item is to approve the agreement with Vector in item 20. The rest are information.
All right. So we need item 20B is the approval of our agreement. So if I could have a motion to approve entering the agreement with Vector Resources, please.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that carries. Ms. Douglas just gets to keep bringing us more information so on our proposed revised board policies coming from the
No, I'm sorry, we're on 21 now.
Oops. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Approval of our guaranteed maximum price on the Degania Middle School.
Yes. So this will be the approval for the GMP, guaranteed maximum price, for the lease back with Erickson Hall for Degania Middle School. We brought forward a preliminary GMP at the last meeting. Phase one now for the GMP would be about $3.8 million. A little bit different than what it was before, because instead of a 14-month schedule, we're looking at a 10-month schedule. And so that's where some of the changes are in terms of cost there. But that's the final GMP for phase one.
All right. Do we have any questions for Ms. Douglas? If not, can I have a motion to approve the GMP for Degania Middle Schools?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that carries. Next is our a GMP for Oak Crest Middle School's admin building reconstruction and their building project.
So similar to the last one, this is just the final GMP for phase one as well. And so that would be $232,592. This one is a little bit more 10% over because of construction escalation and the accelerated scope of work, as we wanted to make sure that the building was done in time for the start of the school year. And so that's where you see the slight increase from what we provided last time. But that would be the final GMP for phase one.
Okay. Thank you. If there are no questions, may I have a motion to approve the GMP for Oak Crest?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
That carries unanimously and brings us to item 23, which is adoption of the board policy. And the first one that we have this evening, there are several, item 23, 24, 25 are all second reads for us, but these item 23 comes from Ms. Douglas. So
this this is as part of the Williams settlement, we're required to have a, for participating in the state facilities program, we're required to have a facility inspection system in place. We actually do, however, we don't have a formal board policy, and so we need to have a formal board policy, so that's what you have. In front of you tonight is for the new policy.
All right, thank you. Any questions left over on that one? If not, may I have a motion to adopt the proposed board policy 3517 for facilities inspection?
Move to adopt.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Item 24 comes from Dr. Grove, which is again some board policies. Here for second read?
Yeah, actually, they were. Should be listed under admin services.
Oh, okay.
So tonight you have several board policies in front of you for approval, which meet state and federal requirements for public schools to provide equal rights and opportunities to all persons, regardless of their actual or perceived membership in certain protected classes. AB 699 was signed into law in October of 2017. And that law requires school districts by July 1st to expressly add immigration status as a specific protected characteristic for purposes of anti-discrimination and equal protection under the laws in schools. These policies, as presented tonight for adoption, update our policies to meet this requirements of AB 699. And in addition, there are two new policies for hate-motivated behaviors, as well as a policy for responding to immigration enforcement issues. Staff is recommending approval.
Thank you. So these are, we do need two separate
votes here. So the first one will be on Board Policy 0410. I'll need a motion to adopt that board policy.
So moved.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And then the item 25 has the 10 other board policies. I will not read all the numbers for you, but if I could have a motion to adopt these new revised and deleted policies as shown.
I have a question. I think it's just grammar free schools. Like, for some reason, I didn't know if you said anything about the parking lot. We had some discussion last time. What was the... Someone was saying that it was not extended to the parking lot and the schools?
It's actually extended to all school property.
It's all school property. I thought that was the reason you weren't sure you checked on that.
Yeah, it's all school property, and we've updated signage to now include vaping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yep. Okay, thanks.
Yep. Even this facility is included.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. May I have a motion to adopt these 10 board policies?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Update on a continuance for Torrey Pines elevator project. Ms. Douglas is bringing it back.
Thank you, Giving. And unfortunately, the gentleman's partner recently passed. and so that may even prolong it a little more. Although we did have a conversation with him today, he's going to be expediting. But because of that, he was kind of off for the charts for a good 2 weeks. So it's here tonight, and it will probably be back next month for the final time. But
let's hope we get this done before the school year begins.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, he definitely knows. Okay. We've been sensitive to pushing him because of that. But, yes, he knows that we need this done.
Thank you. All right. Well, we do need a motion because until it's done, we have to do this each time. So to approve continuing this emergency repair.
Approval.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
That carries. And brings us to item 27, which comes from Ms. Frazee, about our interim superintendent employment contract with Mr. Perlundi.
Yes, so this item is brought forth for board approval for the interim superintendent contract for Mr. Larry Perlundi. Mr. Perlundi retired after 7 years as superintendent of Oceanside Unified School District. He also served as a deputy superintendent in Sweetwater Union High School District. In addition, he worked as a classroom teacher and assistant principal in middle school and high school principal and other district-level positions. He has an extensive background in working with student safety and family services in high urban schools. The terms of the contract that you look at today are consistent with superintendent contracts. The term satisfactory in relation to performance in a superintendent contract refers to the standard of performance set by the governing board in their direction to a superintendent, including an interim superintendent. The daily rate for the interim superintendent is in line with the salaries of that other interim superintendents have received. Most recently, Mr. Perlundi has been consulting with superintendents and governing boards and school districts across the country on building leadership capacity.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yes, we did spend time with multiple candidates, and it was a unanimous decision that he was the one that we thought could come into this with. I was very pleased. He seemed very energetic and looking forward to the challenge for the time. So it gives us a window of time for us to move forward with our search for a permanent superintendent. We had hoped to start that immediately. Any of you who were here, it was a little bit of a challenge to get our calendars working together, and we set a meeting for tomorrow in part based on Mr. Salazar's travel schedule, and he's ended up unavailable to meet tomorrow, but we will go ahead, the four of us who are here. It's just a little disappointing because we might have done it sooner if we could have known how it might play out, just because as we also feel that every day is critical right now. So that's a little disappointing, but tomorrow we will get it rolling. We need a motion to approve the appointment of Larry Perlundi as interim superintendent effective July 1st.
Move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Actually, Mrs. Muir, I didn't see you. Did you say aye?
I thought maybe I missed.
Do you want to stay? Okay.
Mr. Prati seems very knowledgeable, and Mr. Spacer, he's an amazing person. He's got such experience. He brings people together, and I think he's going to be a good addition.
So thank you. That carried unanimously. Thank you. And brings us to some information items. The first comes from Mr. Dill regarding school start times.
Yeah, this was an item that Mr. Salazar asked to have the board revisit from an earlier discussion in September. I know that the board will recall that discussion when Senate Bill, I think it's 323, was under active consideration. It was a two-year bill, and I'm not sure where it's still sitting right now. That would have required districts to move middle school and high school start times no later than 8:30. The arguments for and against remain the same arguments for and against as there were, and those are captured in the executive summary here. But the board will recall that it was a pretty active discussion among the board members, and we had a brand new board seated of student representatives, and turning over to the students, asking their opinions. It was interesting in that all of them were opposed to it, and I think that might have influenced some of the decisions up here that evening on which way to vote in favor or not of that resolution. And so I guess without Mr. Salazar here tonight, I'm willing to entertain this discussion as long as you are, but the facts have not changed since September. I think if it's something that the board would like to explore, that would be something that needs to be done with lots of parent surveys, student surveys on their attitudes, because as you saw in here, there were divided opinions even among our students who this is supposed to benefit. And I did have a face-to-face meeting with Senator Portantino back in March, and while I wanted to talk about school funding, all he wanted to talk about was school start times, and I actually relayed the experience that we had in here, and of course he thought our students were nuts for recommending that way. But I think that they were responding to one, a couple of them said they do better in the morning, and so they just happened to, and others were involved in extracurricular activities and had some fear of what a later start time would mean for arts, athletics, and then in coordinating with other districts who might not be on the same schedule. Well, San Diego Unified is looking like it's taking steps to explore later school times by 2020. I've not heard the same in our neighboring districts in this area, which, again, puts athletics in the spotlight, because if we're competing against schools that might have home games starting while it's still daylight out, after their earlier start times, our kids could miss class in order to compete. So, this might be something that the board might want to just keep their eyes open on and see what the consensus is in this region on making that move, and perhaps working with a future superintendent and through the next school year, if this is an area you want to explore.
I think I've mentioned before, I was really pleased when we got kind of the 07th period on the LCC campus, and I would still like to see how we might approach some changes at Torrey that make it a more distinct choice for families if they feel for them it's important to start later. So I know that
Mr. Coppo and I had that discussion earlier this year, and it was as they were beginning to build their master schedule and the thought of changing that. So he asked if he could take one more year to explore this and also work with the staff on exploring scheduling options. But, I think that it is worth exploring converting those seven-period high schools or exploring changing the high schools to have a zero period with a block on top, sort of like our middle schools work. And it could be a late start options for families that want to choose that. But, that's something that, again, we would need to consider what would be offered in that zero period, what staff would be available to teach that zero period, because it would be outside the normal school day. So it would take a little bit of work, but certainly doable.
And I would, again, I'd like to do the surveying of the families and parents and students just to see what they
are interested in, if it's worth us looking at the details, because I think that's part of it. And what would those changes look like, mm-hmm. whether it is just being flexible changes at Torrey Pines and some of those schools, because our middle schools do already start primarily close to 8:30.
They're pretty close.
So it's not a big change for them, so the high school changes are a little bit mm-hmm. bigger, and if we can do the flexible part to accommodate everybody's schedule, that would be great.
Great. Well, thank you for kind of the refresher on that. If there's no other discussion on that, then I would move us to our other information items. Ms. Douglas, do you have anything else you need to bring before us tonight? If not, then we will move to Dr. Grove. You've been so quiet tonight. Cindy Frazier. Ms. Frazier.
Don't work for next.
Well, his number is let's just say it that way.
I'd just like to say one thing, Eric. It has been a great pleasure working with you. I wish it worked for longer than a year or two.
Thank you.
Best wishes.
Thank you.
And Mr. Miller, please.
Thank you. At our last board meeting, our special education strategic plan was adopted, and I thank many stakeholder groups for their participation in the process. And one group that I don't believe I adequately mentioned was our certificated staff. We had many members in the audience and at our last meeting, and they spent countless hours pouring their time and energy and away from the classroom and supporting our students with the most significant needs. It was truly a collaborative effort between Gen Ed and special education staff. So with Mr. Stacer in the audience tonight, I want to personally thank him for his membership's collaborative support of the process. And another person I also want to thank for their support of the process was Mr. Eric Dill. Wish you best of luck, and thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
I have something to say. I was hoping, Tina, that you could watch the general plan update, all the cities, because now that we're doing affordable housing, I know NTU's may have 1,700 homes in the next 2 years in all of our surrounding cities. It's been down from the state. What that's going to mean to us as far as money and tax dollars, because that might change where I'm on a home I live at.
And I know Mr. Adelman is watching that because he's the one who forecasts our enrollment and our school needs on that. So I know Mr. Adelman has been paying close attention to that.
Well, yeah. Decided the other meeting went on to what you bought in the morning. We need to keep a close eye on all that. We need an update here from the district. For sure. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other items anyone wants to bring forward on a future agenda that you need to know about? Otherwise, travel safe, and Mrs. Well, I'll see you tomorrow before you head out of town. And Mrs. Muir said,
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck tomorrow. So, all right, then I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you.